It's Tuesday, July the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn for this coming Sunday, Entrust Your Days and Burdens. This was written by Paul Gerhardt, who died in 1676. He wrote many hymns that deal with the comfort, hope, and joy found in relying on God's providential and saving care of His creation. This is probably his best known. A story circulated in the 19th century that shortly after the hymn was published, a bakery worker sang it while at work in a large city in northern Germany. By evening, the other workers in the bakery had learned it, and within a week, the entire city was singing it. This hymn is quite well known in Germany. Stories have been put forward to explain the writing of the hymn. One story is that Gerhardt wrote it to comfort his family after their expulsion from Berlin in 1668. Remember, this was during the 30 Years' War. Since the hymn had already been published in 1653, though that hardly seems likely. Another story is that Gerhardt's wife once pleaded with her husband for money to buy food, but there was no money to be had. So Gerhardt promised his wife an eternal food and drink from God's word. After a few hours' work, the result was this hymn. These stories do illustrate that Gerhardt faced much distress during his lifetime, that the faith testing problems and temptations fought against the sure and certain promises of God in Jesus Christ for the hearts and souls of believers. By the time Gerhardt was 14 years old, both his parents had died. When he was 30, his hometown of Greifenhainichen was destroyed by the Swedish army during the 30 Years' War, a case of a Lutheran army destroying a Lutheran city. And in the fall of the same year, his older brother Christian died there of the plague. After writing this hymn, Gerhardt would experience the death of his wife and four of his five children. Gerhardt's motive for writing this hymn on God's providential care has been lost in time. But scholars have pointed out some writings that he would likely have known that could have influenced the hymn's content. There is a table talk of Martin Luther that uses the first line of Psalm 37:5, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act." Gerhardt's hymn begun by quoting this verse, and one can see how the hymn has been influenced by this poem attributed to Luther. The hymn was used by Johann Sebastian Bach's monumental St. Matthew's Passion. Bach also used the best of Gerhardt's Passion hymns O Sacred Head, now wounded and upon the cross extended, for six different movements. But Entrust Your Days and Burdens is the only non-Lenten hymn by Gerhardt used in the work. There is no doubt this is a wonderful hymn, and it is a hymn of the day selected for this coming Sunday, which is Proper 12. All right, Pastor Smith, how often have you used this six-verse hymn?
Not often enough. You say it's Paul Gerhardt's finest hymn.
Yes.
I can't understand. The melody is just unfamiliar to me. Unless I hear it, maybe I would recognize it. My problem in picking hymns is I like to pick hymns that have familiar melodies, and I've overlooked this far too long. The words are so very comforting. I wish I could recall how the melody goes.
Well, the problem is the melody in our hymnal is different than the one in the original hymn.
That is a problem.
So, I still like it.
Yeah.
It's still got tremendous words.
Oh, yes.
Do you see what the text is at the top of the hymn?
Yeah, hope and comfort.
Yes.
It's very much that.
Can you imagine if your wife and four of your five children and your brother and your city was destroyed by the 30 years war, how he could still have such faith?
Oh, I've heard this so often about Paul Gerhardt, the troubles that he went through. It is really unbelievable, and how he still managed to pen these hopeful hymns.
Yes. So, without further ado, stanza one, please.
Entrust your days and burdens to God's most loving hand. He cares for you while ruling the sky, the sea, the land. For he who guides the tempests along their thunderous ways will find for you a pathway and guide you all your days.
Can you imagine what Bible text Gerhardt must have been thinking about?
Well, I know the gospel for this coming Sunday is the account of it's Mark chapter 6, the account of the storm where Jesus calms the storm.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Yes. It shows the doubt of the disciples. They still don't get it, just who and what this Jesus is.
Is this the account where Peter asked to walk on the water?
No, I don't believe it is. This is the one where Jesus is aware of the difficulty the disciples are having out on the open sea, and I believe he does walk out to them on the water.
Right.
But I don't think this is the account of Peter asking to walk out to Jesus. At least it doesn't speak of that.
Okay. There's no doubt that this could be in his mind, because he can control wind and wave.
Right.
And this is the metaphor that Gerhardt uses for the troubles that they're going through during the 30 years war. That's what is done in a worship service. where the pastor consoles the congregation, and there are many wind and waves that are occurring in the congregation, in their members, and each sermon is to comfort them with the Word of God. All righty. Stanza 2, please.
Yes. Rely on God your Savior and find your life secure. Make His work your foundation that your work may endure. No anxious thought, no worry, no self-tormenting care can win your Father's favor. His heart is moved by prayer.
So what is the relationship that the Christian believer needs to keep in mind?
That God is our Father, and that our anxiety, our worries, that, you know, don't let that get you down. It's His heart is moved by prayer, and He wants us to come to Him for everything, just like a dear child approaches his dear father.
Where do you often go after our broadcast?
Oh, I go to a Bible study. Yes.
Yes.
We have a Bible study at the church where I served for 38 years, and the new pastor leads the Bible study, and I really miss it. We're not having it this week. We haven't had it for about 3 weeks. You know, the pastor needs a little vacation, and boy, but I really miss it. So if I don't get my Bible study during the week, I really miss it. So what we did is we went out to St. Paul's Lutheran Church out in Wildwood and visited the Bible class out there.
Did you not serve there for a while?
I served there for about 2 years until they got a new pastor, yes. So
yes.
I've become acquainted with two different congregations, and we continue to support both of those congregations. They're wonderful, wonderful congregations, wonderful people.
Yep. Christians are so wonderful because inspired by the Holy Spirit that they have received at their baptism, they show a love that only can come from above.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I really miss that Bible study if it's not meeting, you know, during the summer. I've got to have that Bible study, or it's a long week. I think now that I'm retired, I value time with the church in worship and Bible study more than ever.
Yeah. No doubt about that. Do you preach occasionally?
Yeah, in fact, I just preached, about a week ago. At the church where I served for 38 years, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. And again, it was to help the pastor while he was on vacation. So I always value those opportunities too.
Excellent. Yes, you're showing the point how the Word of God in worship really makes a difference in your comfort level. All righty. Stanza 3, please.
Take heart, have hope, my spirit, and do not be dismayed. God helps in every trial and makes you unafraid. Await His time with patience through darkest hours of night until the sun you hoped for delights your eager sight.
Now, this is written while he loses his wife, four of his five children, other relatives in his family. This is really based on God's word.
Yeah, can you imagine going through all that, Tom? I'll tell you, it's just hard to imagine what that must have been like to lose the... to lose your so much of your family, and especially your wife. I know I'd be lost without my wife.
I also.
Yeah. I always pray that the Lord takes me first, because I think she'd manage better than I would without her.
Yeah, that's. I always pray that I live to 110 years old.
You do, huh?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
All right. Stanza four, please.
Okay. Leave all to his direction. His wisdom rules for you in ways to rouse your wonder at all his love can do. Soon he, his promise keeping, with wonder-working powers, will banish from your spirit what gave you troubled hours. You know, Tom, we should have probably discussed this in the previous verse, where it says, through darkest hours of night, until the sun you hoped for delights your eager sight. Is he talking about the sun that rises in the morning, or is he talking about his son, Jesus?
What does the English say?
Well, the English spells it like the regular sun that rises every morning, S-U-N. But I can't help but think of the S-O-N that rises also in our life. And he's the one that really gives us comfort. I mean, it's nice to have a nice, beautiful sunrise, that there's another day and more hope. But what is that hope based on? It's based upon Christ and especially his resurrection and eternal life.
Well, remember, the Bible uses many metaphors.
That's right.
To point to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And one of them is the sun rising in the morning.
Yes.
I'm always surprised on YouTube when people go on vacation how they are often at a beach watching the sun rising or setting at night. And it really makes a difference in their understanding of creation.
Yes, indeed. Now that I interrupted, I guess we need to go to the fourth stanza again. Leave all to his direction. His wisdom rules for you in ways to rouse your wonder at all his love can do. Soon he, his promise keeping, with wonder-working powers, will banish from your spirit what gave you troubled hours. It's very comforting. Each stanza is just as comforting as the next.
There is a promise that your problems will be banished. Have
right.
you noticed that in your life and in the life of your congregation members?
Yes, a lot of times, you know, they always talk about, what's procrastination as being such a bad thing. And I'm just as bad a procrastinator as the next guy. But, you know, I've also found that sometimes if you procrastinate, God has a way of working out the problem himself.
What do you mean by procrastinating?
By procrastination, I mean talking about doing something without getting anything done.
Yes. Because God is in charge.
Right.
What does Romans 8:28 say?
I love that passage. My favorite. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose.
Isn't that the substance of this hymn?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It surely is. Everything will work out. That doesn't mean we should sit idly by and not do anything. I mean, we try to tackle the duty of the day, you know, and we try to do our work and everything. But at the same time, when we're frustrated, when we've done all we can do, and we feel like we haven't accomplished anything, God has a way of working these things out. He just does. And he's promised. That's his promise for Christians, at least, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, to his elect, in other words.
Have you ever used an example from the congregation in your sermon as to how that has occurred in a person's life?
Oh, I'm sure I have. I can't recall at the moment any anecdote or illustration, but I'm sure I have used those illustrations from time to time. How about you?
Well, I remember when I was preaching at your congregation, you put in an elevator.
Yes.
And who was that for specifically?
Particularly for the elderly and the handicapped.
Yes, because it was difficult for them to walk down the stairs to get to the Bible study.
Right.
And so that was a wonderful thing. I just left a church that really needs an elevator, but it was $500,000.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's it's difficult. It's difficult,
yes,
for a congregation.
Okay, stanza 5, please.
O blessed air of heaven, you'll hear the song resound of endless jubilation when you with life are crowned. In your right hand, your Maker will place the victor's palm, and you will thank him gladly with heaven's joyful psalm.
Who is the blessed heir of heaven?
All who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Well said. They're heirs of heaven because there is a covenant that Jesus made called the New Covenant that occurred primarily at the Lord's Last Supper, where he gave his body and blood to be received by members of the believing congregation. And that is the heirs of heaven. And they will hear the song resound of endless jubilation. What would that be referring to?
That's referring to the last day when we're welcomed into that new heaven and new earth, when we're raised to new life with glorified bodies. We see our loved ones that have gone before us, and we'll have a joyous reunion in that new heaven and new earth with our Lord Jesus.
The verse says, in your right hand, your Maker will place the victor's palm. What's that referring to?
Well, I know it refers to, I think it's in John's Revelation. There's that passage where it says, who are these with the holding the palm branches? And is it the angel that responds, these are they that have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
So this really reminds us of one of the great celebration Sundays called Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday,
what
right.
What happened on that day?
Well, that was the day that our Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Of course, his crucifixion and resurrection were, this was about a week ahead of time of that. And he was welcomed into Jerusalem with open arms. And even the little children gathered up palm branches and
yes,
welcomed him. A lot of the people took their garments and spread them out before Jesus as he entered riding a humbled donkey as he entered Jerusalem.
Verse 6, please.
Verse 6. Our hands and feet, Lord, strengthen. with joy our spirits bless, until we see the ending of all our life's distress. And so throughout our lifetime, keep us within your care, and at our end, then bring us to heaven to praise you there.
That's referring to the last day.
Right. The resurrection.
Okay. Yes. So, this is a wonderful hymn. This can also be used at funerals.
Oh, yes. Very comforting.
Excellent. Okay. Entrust Your Days and Burdens, the hymn for this coming Sunday, in light of the fact that it talks about Jesus walking on the water in the gospel. So, tomorrow we're going to look at another passage from the Bible about that very item. Thanks for helping us with Entrust Your Days and Burdens. And I pray that congregations will be singing that hymn. Join us tomorrow for additional coverage from the Bible about the themes that Gerhard shared in that comforting hymn. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.